watch Clemson very much, but apparently this is their fight song.
I will say, all fight songs sound pretty close to the same. You put that many horns and wind instruments together, it all kind of just sounds the same to me.
Kind of all have the same cadence.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to both the teams, and welcome all our football visiting fans. I promised Larry we'd get right back to him, calling from Tucson. Let's bring him back into the conversation. He's been so patient. Sorry to do that to you, Larry. I just wasn't watching the clock.
No problem. Hey, I have a question. I have a situation with my front walkway where a root has lifted up part of the walkway about an inch, and it's becoming a tripping hazard.
Okay.
Now, I've taken the tree out, so it's not going to get any worse.
Good for you.
But I would like to go and be able to repair that somehow. The problem is that the walkway has an epoxy coating over it and is textured to look like flagstone.
Ooh.
And it is colorized.
Ooh.
Also, the epoxy was. So is there any way I can lift up those slabs and you know, dig the root out and then drop them back in? Or am I just going to have to replace this whole thing?
Well,
how long of a sidewalk are we talking?
Well,
not just the hump, the heave, but start to finish. How long is this sidewalk?
Probably about 40 feet. It's fairly long to get out to the driveway. It runs back in from the driveway, and it's quite long. And there's no way to shorten it up either.
And you got the acrylic finish on it that makes it look like...
Yeah, or an epoxy. I'm not sure. Yeah. They spread it on with a trowel, you know, and then texturized it and that type of thing.
Larry, given that it has that finish on it, if it were me, I would probably try and side excavate, remove the root, and slowly drop that slab back in place without too much excavation, because what you're going to do is you're excavating, you're creating the void, which then is going to crack the slab as you start applying pressure to it. I would simply excavate, get the root out of there, and I'd only go through all of this trouble because you've got the acrylic finish on it, and trying to match that's going to be impossible. If the slab couldn't be saved, if you end up cracking the concrete and comes up, I would strongly consider replacing the broken segment with just some good-looking pavers and let the sidewalk be faux flagstone, paver, faux flagstone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, would I have to replace the whole... I guess I'd have to replace the whole sidewalk, though, all 40 foot of it.
Yeah, if you wanted it all to look the same, yeah, but if you could just saw cut it in and around that root section and just let that section be pavers, it would be one inexpensive option to getting it solved. Now, I don't know if your homeowners association might have some input on that. They might not like that look.
Well, I don't have a problem there because I don't have an HOA.
Good for you. Lucky you.
That was a requirement.
Yeah, that was a requirement in shopping the home.
I don't blame you.
You bet.
Well, Larry, you can try. I'm guessing it's heaved at a joint that already exists in the slab, right?
Yeah. Both joints have cracked.
Yeah.
I could lift that one. You know, it's not attached to the rest of the block. I think I could lift that one slab up. I just don't know how to do that because the thing's going to weigh probably 700-800 pounds.
It's going to be heavy. Your sidewalk is 24 to 36 inches wide, I'm guessing?
Yeah, it's about 36.
And they put an expansion joint, they tooled in a cold joint, what, about every 4 to 6 feet? So you're talking
About every 4 feet, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that size of slab, 3.5 inches thick, it can be moved. You know what a sharpshooter is?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, a sharpshooter is a tool that's about 8 foot long, and it's a weighted steel rod. And I use them all the time for leveraging those types of heavy things. They're great for helping dig through caliche if you don't have a backhoe. They're actually called the Tijuana backhoe is another name for them. And you just get a good pair of gloves on, you lift them up, they're nice and heavy, and the weight of the bar itself helps you break the bar up. But a sharpshooter, you can pick those up at any of the big box stores, hardware stores. Marvell carries them, Cohills carries them, so... Use one of those, and let's say that slab weighs, 400 pounds. You know, if we put it on a 4-foot leverage and lever it, I mean, we can get that down for you at the end of the lever of that sharpshooter are only going to feel like you're moving about 70 to 100 pounds. That's the power of the leverage you're going to have.
Sure.
And you can kind of wiggle it and jiggle it in place. And once you get it up close, then start packing the dirt and the sand back in under there and wedge it back up tight as you can to those. I would try all that. Your chances of doing it are probably 50-50 at best. And then once it cracks, then you've got the option of what do you do with the rest of the sidewalk.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll give that a try.
Okay, man. Appreciate the call. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. From there, let's go to Joe. And from Joe, we're going to jump down to Green Valley and talk to Francis. But let's get Joe first. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Rosie on the house. Good morning.
Hey, man. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, I've been working on remodeling our spare bathroom, one that doesn't get used very often. So the actual cabinet, I replaced the top with granite, and they had to come in and install that. But I just want to replace the doors. We decided to go with a black and white bathroom.
Okay.
And which became a difficult project. It's hard to find black stuff for bathrooms. Especially fixtures and that. But anyways, I really having a difficult time finding the just replacement doors and drawers that I can replace myself. There's contractors that'll do it. It's only just a few doors and drawers. But I want, it's a white backing, so it'll be black doors. So that also presents a problem. So just looking for those doors and drawers that I can replace.
How old is the base cabinet you're working with?
Oh, it's the original house was built in the early 70s.
Okay. All right. So we're probably dealing with an oak or a mahogany cabinet box, is my guess.
I don't know. It looks like some sort of pressed wood.
And then
with the doors are some sort of wood. Though that even looks kind of inexpensive, cheap.
What cross streets are you closest to?
I'm up by Greenway and I-17.
Okay, all right. And when I opened the drawer to this bathroom vanity, what kind of hardware was on that drawer? Was it just one under drawer center guide with one wheel on it?
No, it's got the two runners on the side.
Good, good, good. Okay. So do you still have the drawer box?
Or did you Okay. I got all that. Yeah, okay. I just want to replace the front.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what I'm not confident that they'll actually be able to take care of you, but they'll be able to tell you where they go to buy their cabinet doors and drawer fronts. I want you to call Irwin's Cabinets. They're at 2922 North 35th Avenue. Their number is 602-272-3867. Or you could call my cabinet designer, Ann Lyons. She works for me at Rosie on the House Remodeling. Our office number is 480-998-6961. We actually
can you repeat the last four?
998-6961.
Thank you.
And they use a small little custom cabinet guy out of the northwest side of Phoenix that may be even a better source. Irwin's, I think, could get you plugged into the right people. But call Ann at Rosie on the House Remodeling. I think she can guide you to her little one-man custom shop operation, probably get you all taken care of.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, you know, it just seems with all the remodeling that's going on that this would be a common thing, and it's become a chore. It should be fairly simple. Now, I could find the raw wood and then repaint them to myself, but I don't even want to do that. I just want to get some doors that are black that I could replace with.
Yeah, that's interesting. We're actually doing a master bath remodel at our house, and we're converting from a light-colored cabinet to all antiqued black. Our goal at our house is when we're done, we want you to feel like you've walked into Kit Carson's home in Santa Fe, New Mexico, about 1870, 1875. And the black antique look, we think, goes a long way in getting it there. So the black can be tricky. I know exactly what you're dealing with, but I think we can help you out, buddy.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Thank you.
And before we get to Francis, as we go down to Green Valley, you want to hit two more of our top 10?
Oh, I guess we should. I guess we should hit.
We got nine left in 20 minutes.
This is our article in the Arizona Republic in Saturday's edition of At Home section of Arizona Republic. How about, let's see, can you convert your carport into a garage?
Oh, that's a big one.
That's a pretty common project. Very often is not done with a permit. Very often is done by way of a beer party on weekend afternoons with your friends.
And very often found at the end why you should always get your permit, because then if it's not done right and if it's not permitted, if it's not poured up to grade, all that enclosed room still counts as a garage.
Yeah,
on the appraisal, it does not count as living square feet.
Well, and this
or a garage.
Yeah, and in your illustration, you're talking about converting the garage to a family room type thing, but and that's another one of the questions that are here. But this question in particular is just converting the carport to a garage.
And you can't just frame straight onto the garage slab. I mean, you can, but that's not correct or to code.
Then we always get the call 3 years later.
It's all rotted out.
What do I do with all the rotten wood I put down there at that low, low level? So, yeah, you can convert a carport to a garage, but there's several things you need to consider. And the very first thing you need to consider is get with the city or the county building department that regulates and has authority and jurisdiction over your particular area and find out what their requirements are, because many of them have slightly different requirements. If you want to tackle the job yourself, you can. We're going to try and deal. Generally, what we have in this situation, and I don't know particularly why it goes this way, but we have a poor drainage situation. So when we're doing this, the drainage is the first thing we look at. Many times we'll lay the top, the bottom, 2 or 3 feet of this garage enclosure, we'll lay it in a masonry wall. And then waterproof the outside and go up from there. You also got to watch it where the water's going to enter at the garage door location as well, the overhead garage door. So it can be done. And then the more complicated thing is if the carport is attached to the house, you've got some fire code restrictions you have to make sure. If many times in that layout of a house, the kitchen sink window looks into the carport. Well, if you convert it to a garage, that window has to go away. That enclosure now has to be made into a 1 hour fire rated enclosure. And you know that pull down ladder that you have in your carport that lets you go up in the attic?
Gotta go.
If you enclose the garage, that's gotta go. Many times.
Or at least be replaced with a fire rated.
Absolutely. Many times in the homes that were built through the 60s and the 70s, we would put a little screen enclosure in the carport to allow air to get up into the attic. That's got to be closed off. So there's things that need to be considered. The first thing you would need to do, I would encourage you, is just get to your city or county building department. Talk the project through with them. And yes, it can be done. More when we get back with Rosie on the House. Francis in Green Valley. You're next.